Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. We've just read James chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. And James, writing initially to the rich, speaks about the patience required by the faithful. Be patient unto the coming of the Lord, he says in verse 7. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it, until he receives the earlier and latter rain. That's verse 7 of James 5. Verse 8 says, you also be patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of your Lord draws near. So twice, when James writes about a farmer being patient and long patient, he speaks about the coming of the Lord. And therefore, we turn back to the passage that we read often among ourselves, don't we? And that's 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to revisit it again today, hoping that it isn't repetitious, but that it does contain some freshness for us. And 2 Timothy 2 says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The strength in the grace that is in him. That's the strength and the focus that we ought to have. Now, this strength that Paul writes to Timothy about relates to the things that he had heard from Paul among many witnesses, verse 2, commit the same to faithful ones or men who will be able to teach others also. Strength in a truth. That's the context, isn't it, of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Strength in the truth that has been heard of the Apostle Paul, at which we are to commit. Well, now we're going to have to be strong, aren't we? Because it can be said in the wider field that many Christians really just see Paul as an also-ran, just a part of the New Testament. But of course, for you and I, as we have progressed in right division and the understanding of the word, recognize that no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, i.e. Christ Jesus our Lord. There's no other Saviour, no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. But in the matter of God's will and purposes for us today, the Apostle Paul is that chosen instrument of God. And we have embraced that truth, and we want to share the truths given to us through Paul to others. And therefore we begin this morning by reminding ourselves from this passage, the first thing is that we need to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. For to testify to these things will be difficult. And I wanted to bring out the difficulties that we might experience from these three examples of life that the apostle refers to. Therefore, verse 3 of this chapter goes on to say, therefore, in the matter of being strong, do you see? Therefore, in the matter of sharing the truth that you have heard from the Apostle Paul, endure hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The word for endure hardness is something that's not pleasant. I mean, it's one thing to think about a soldier and the hardness that a soldier has to endure, like the inconvenience and the austerity of the conditions that he might face as a soldier. He wouldn't have a hot meal all the time and the comforts of a soft bed. These are some of the hardnesses that a soldier has to face as a soldier. But the word for endure hardness comes in verse 9. Paul says, I suffer ill as an evildoer. The suffering ill there is in fact the enduring hardness. It's a word which means to experience pain. And of course, in a battle, a soldier will experience some pain. And you and I know that in the matter of sharing this truth, did you see the context? In sharing this truth, that there will be some pain. It doesn't matter who we are or what stand we make. You can stick your neck out if you like. I can do that. I can stick my neck out and wait for somebody to chop it off. And you might not stick your neck out as far as me, but it doesn't matter. When we stand for the right division of the word of truth, then we're going to have to endure hardness. And that's the word of truth for us today. Now, we don't want to spend all our time being negative and saying, you know, that it's all going to be hard. We just need to face reality, that's all. We need to be practical, don't we? And the first thing in the Apostle Paul's mouth here to Timothy is that of a soldier. A soldier. To endure hardness. I think this word also comes in verse 5 of this letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verse 5. Endure afflictions. It's one of the great things of translators is that they bring about these words, which are the same words in the original, and they give them different translations. And that's not a bad thing, is it, really? Affliction. Suffer affliction. Endure hardness. And this word does come in James 5, and I wanted to bring it out. It comes in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him pray. So, in enduring of hardness, apart from the patience that we found in the earlier verses of James chapter 5, prayer is so important, isn't it? So there's an antidote, if you like, in the suffering that we may well endure as a good soldier, then prayer is the antidote. Prayer. Constant prayer is a prerequisite for enduring hardness, is it not? Now, as you know, there are a number of people, well, two that I could find, that were called fellow soldiers. And they are good examples, are they not, of what a fellow soldier might have to endure. And in Philippians chapter 2, a fellow soldier is found in verse 25. Here's Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier. But your messenger and he who ministered to my wants, for he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because you had heard that he was sick or had been sick. And indeed, he was sick, coming near death. Do you see? This is the extent to which this man was prepared to go as a fellow soldier. And that's the thing about a soldier, isn't it, really? In the matter of pleasing the one who's called him to be a soldier, then there is a less regard for life. Now, I don't want to suggest that you should be out there this morning, you know, casting your life under a bus for the Lord. But remember that we do have one life in which to serve him. And as a soldier, we strive to please him. And it really is, as a soldier, for you and I to determine what does come first in my labours, in my enduring hardness, in my being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and in my sharing the truth that has been committed to me through the Apostle Paul. Verse 4 of 2 Timothy 4 goes on to say that no one who wars entangles, do you see, or tangles with the affairs of this life, that he may please him. Now, we're not to say that we are to totally disregard this life. We are a part of the world, but apart from it, are we not? But indeed, that word entangle certainly will remind us of a parable, won't it? The entanglement. The entanglement. I want to see if I can bring out, you know, back in Luke chapter 8, I know there were a couple of accounts of the sowing and the parable, but in Luke chapter 8, I just wanted to bring out that some of the seed that was sown fell among the weeds, didn't it? Or the thorns. The seed that was sown among the thorns relates, the Lord says, to the ones who hear, and when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and do not bear to maturity. You remember in James, isn't it interesting how the word can tie itself together? In James, you know, being patient and being a farmer, James spoke about those that were rich, and Paul in 1 Timothy talks about those who want to be rich, and the cares of this life. You know, friends, you talk to some people and life is just so burdensome, really, isn't it? There's so many issues. There are so many problems. And it's one thing to know about them, and I'm not saying we should discount them, but we must be very, very careful that they do not impede in the sharing and ministry that we have received. By the way, in the parable of the sower, the seed was sown, but only some of the seed was productive, correct? Only some of the seed was productive. And I'm going to stay, But I'm focusing on the number. Not all the seed was productive, was it? But the seed was sown. And I want to give you a fresh look at a passage from Matthew. Now, how am I in Matthew? Well, because I think there might be some helpful information here. And I'm going to go to Matthew 7. And now, I can't find the verse because I didn't write it down. Well, that was really clever. I think verse 13 will do me. In verse 13, the Lord says this: go in through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there are who go in through it. Well, when I was younger in the faith, you see, I thought that the narrow gate obviously referred to those who were faithful and believed into the Lord, and that the broad way, which led to destruction, was all those other people, you see, who didn't believe into Christ. I wonder, however, if it means that narrow is the gate and through which those who are faithful and go on to fruit and perfection, those who labour and walk worthy, whereas the broad way is the way of those who in fact end up into destruction or perdition. For I think you find in Mark 7:13 that the word is perdition or waste. Do you see how many? Do you see how many want to be a soldier? How many? How much of that sowing fell on productive ground? How much? Well, we're not here to look at the other numbers, and we do that, don't we, at times? We've been in private conversations, have we not? What about the others? Hey, stop right there. Stop right there. Let's go back to Paul. Have you been chosen to be a soldier? You can answer that. I can't. Have you been chosen to be a soldier? Do you have some truth of the Apostle Paul to share? Then if you have, then you and I may be on a very narrow path with just a few, and we're not to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life. Yes, we have to work with our hands so that we have sufficient, and perhaps to help others. But watch out for the affairs of this life. And the affairs of this life can be family. The affairs of this life can be business. The affairs of this life can be a marriage. Now then, those things must be kept in perspective by those who have been chosen to be a soldier. And sometimes a soldier will send a card to family. Of course he loves them. But he has a work and a job to do. Yes, indeed. Narrow is the way. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and life as opposed to perdition or waste. And being a soldier, of course, means that sometimes the conditions are not really, really good. Sometimes the conditions are not the best. But you know from my testimony, don't you? And I'm sure you'll experience this too. That sometimes when conditions are really tough, that's when we receive some fresh insight from the Lord. You know, in Acts 23, the Apostle Paul was in Jerusalem and the crowd was ready to rip him to pieces. But in verses 10 and 11, the Lord stood with him and spoke to him. You know, in Acts chapter 27, there was a ship at sea and there was a storm and they all feared for their life. Circumstances were not commodious to quiet and calm study of the word, now were they? But the Lord spoke. And you know something? In 2 Timothy 4, verse 17. Look at this. A soldier might be alone. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:16, "At my first answer, no one was beside me, but all deserted me. May it not be laid to their charge. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that through me the preaching might be fulfilled or fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." Do you see, friends, as a soldier, please remember that as a soldier, the opportunity to commit the faithful to faithful ones, the word that was given to us, might come in a battle environment. Don't sit around and wait for everything to be nice and cozy and comfortable so we can talk to somebody. We're in a context, aren't we? Back to chapter 2. Remember? The things that we have heard, be strong in the grace. The things that we have heard, commit. Well, sometimes, friends, the sharing of the truth might be at a time when really the circumstances would not be scripted by you and I. And there are some who toddle off to church every Sunday when things are comfortable and cozy and they think, well, that's when God's going to speak to them. And he may well do that. But don't, friends, forget that as a soldier, circumstances might not be as cozy as we wish. And God will use us. So watch for the opportunities. Be a soldier that's focused and keep our hearts and minds on the truth that's been committed to us. Do not be entangled. Do not let the affairs of this life divert us from the one who's called us to be a soldier, the one who wants us to serve in the truth, and the one that we want to please. Verse 4 again, no one who wars tangles with the affairs of this life. In order that we, pardon me for changing it, may please him. And pleasing business, and pleasing family, and pleasing lots of other things may be counterproductive to the sharing of this truth. A soldier. How many soldiers out of the population? How much seed was productive? How broad was the way to waste and loss? Are you a soldier today? Well then, don't become entangled. And you, with prayer and the guidance of the word, will know just exactly how to define entanglement. It's an individual thing, isn't it? By the way, how many athletes are there at the Olympic Games? You see, isn't it interesting the number coming up out of this morning's lesson? How many athletes at the Olympic Games? Well, I've seen them on TV. I didn't even go when it was in Sydney. I just watched it. It was more comfortable at home. How many athletes at the Olympic Games? Well, they're in a minority, aren't they? Do you see? But how many spectators? What would you like to be, everybody, this morning in the sharing of the word and the standing for the truth given to the world through the Apostle Paul. Do you want to be a spectator or an athlete? Well, Paul's talking to Timothy, and I think he wants us to be an athlete, don't you? And once again, we have here this this number, this relationship. And you see, an athlete and a soldier, they're all focused on what's at hand. What is the focus in this? Never let the theme of this lesson pass, Brian. Put out verse 2 again. The things that we have heard from Paul. That's this context, isn't it? We're to commit it. And in this process of enduring hardness, in our testimony to these glorious things, we have to be like a soldier who is not entangled. We have to be like, do you see, an athlete who's focused. All the training of an athlete. You know the analogy, and I'm not going to labour it, of course. Do you see? Is on their particular discipline. A swimmer doesn't spend time throwing the discus. Now does he or she? Do you see? You and I have a word and a work to do. In these post-Acts epistles, friends, we have a testimony. We have a witness. We have something precious to share. We take the spirit of the Apostle Paul, who said in Ephesians chapter 3, "This grace is given unto me." Well, I guess I better post the verse. "Who am less than the least of all saints, to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ among the nations, and to bring to light what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from eternity has been hidden in God." That's the Apostle Paul, isn't it? And in these contexts of 2 Timothy, we may not be a prisoner, but we certainly can be a fellow soldier, can't we? And if you like, a fellow athlete in these things here. Now, the athlete, of course, competes, aspiring to be crowned. Aspiring to be crowned. But to be crowned, one must compete lawfully. Now, in this principle, in this chapter of 2 Timothy, of course, we know that the rules are found in verse 15. Here are the rules here. Every athlete has a rule. Right? There it is. Right division. And regrettably, in the wider Christian sphere, you know, right division is seen as something unique to them hyper-dispensationalists. But hyper-dispensationalists did not write 2 Timothy chapter 2. Aren't you pleased about that? Remember when we're accused of being, you know, hard-nosed hypers, dispensationalists or Bible choppers or whatever it is that will get thrown against us. Remember this. You and I didn't write 2 Timothy 2:15, aren't we? Praise God about that. Paul did. And remember, let's go back to the top of the chapter again. Isn't it good that I'm hanging onto my thread, my theme today? The things that we have heard from the Apostle Paul includes the Bible study principle of right division, and that also is something that we must commit to faithful ones, men, women. Do you see, right division helped me yesterday. Can I tell you about yesterday, everybody? Yesterday, I switched off. I wasn't even online. And you know why? I had stuff to do on some charts, and I had to go and do quite a bit of shopping. And I ended up at Redmond Boys, up there in Seneca. Now, in Seneca, Redmond Boys is a big vegetable shed, really. A local family gathers all these vegetables. You can go in there, and I got a boiled peanut yesterday. Now, I'm really getting to be a South Carolinian when you eat a boiled peanut. That was my first in life to eat a boiled peanut. I've never had one before. And they offered to give me a few more, but I just wasn't over the moon about boiled peanuts. Yeah, you do you? I like boiled peanuts. Anyway, there was just two people. Boiled peanut, thank you. I got to learn to speak right, haven't I? Anyway, there were only two people in the shop. It was slow, slow, slow. And both of them were staff and family members. And so we got talking, and I don't know how poetry came up. You never know how conversation ends up where it does, do you? Look at me now. And so I recited them Andrew Barton Patterson or Banjo Patterson poem. I recited them the Bush Christening. And they were very entertained. I had an audience of two, and they were really, they just thought it was wonderful and told me I had to visit the local schools and recite poetry for the children. Well, I thought, yes, well, that would be nice. But anyway, after purchasing the milk, and I'd placed it in the car, I came back, and it just so happened that the man and I got chatting. And he asked me what I did and so forth and so on. And I told him I was a Bible teacher and a Bible student. And we got talking about healthcare, and somehow or other we related politics and what was going on that was underhand with modern churches. See, conversation can be convoluted, can't it? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. I said, you know, there are things in the churches and I can't go. And I said, it's not because I don't love my fellow Christians, but one of the things that gets me is, you know, tithing. I said, do you go to church? He said, yeah, I go to church. And I said, I bet you hear about tithing. He said, oh, only every other week. And he rolled his eyes. So I gave the man at the grocery store a Bible lesson on the principle of tithing according to the rule of right division. And do you know what? That man's shoulders lowered visibly as he heard scripture rightly divided. And when we left, he had this big smile on his face, and he said to me, you know what he said? You've made my day. Now, you know, friends, when we share right division, and I was in 2 Timothy chapter 2, wasn't I, before I got to the grocery store, when we share right division, you know, it can be on a myriad of subjects, can't it? Now, that door is open right there. When I go back next time, you know, that man might listen to me a bit more about something else that needs to be rightly divided. Do you see? So, let's be focused on the word that we have to share, but we can talk about a lot of things, and right division will be visible in how what we say, not so much because we pound also to mio or that word in 2 Timothy 2:15. So then the athlete. How did I get back away from the athlete? Well, here we go. Back to 2 Timothy 2 verse 5. If anyone strives for the masteries or competes, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully. So right, division is important in our witness, isn't it? Now, I thought I'd look up the word crowned. Just out of interest. Really only comes in a few places. In fact, two others. So I'm going to go there. We certainly have been around the scriptures this morning. We've been using the entire New Testament, haven't we? Or broadly using the New Testament. Of course, one of the accusations against us right dividers is we chop Paul out of the Bible and we throw the rest of the Bible away. Have you heard that bit? You know, you Bible choppers, you throw the Bible away. Remember the man who said to me once, you only want to be a right divider so you don't obey the commands of Christ. I said, I see, do you obey the commands in Matthew chapter 10? Do you only go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Do you only go to the cities of Israel? Click. The conversation was over. And I wasn't being sarcastic or, you know, heavily ironic. I just asked him a legitimate question. All Christians are dispensationalists. You know that, don't you? All Christians. But I'm sorry, I was talking about an athlete being crowned, wasn't I? 2 Timothy 2:5. Focus, Brian. So here's verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 2. Paul says, what is man, Hebrews 2 verse 6, that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? Hebrews 2 verse 6, we can pick it up there, can't we? Hebrews 2 verse 6. I'm quite sure this is Psalm 8 being quoted here. You have made him a little lower than the angels, or less than God, which would not apply to Christ, of course. A little lower than the angels, you crowned him with glory and honour and set him over the works of your hands. You subjected all things under his feet, for in subjecting all things to him, he did not leave anything not subjected to him, but now we do not see all things having been subjected to him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour. Did you know that's the only three references of that particular word crown in 2 Timothy 2 verse 5? And here we have a wonderful example, don't we, of the Lord Jesus, who endured hardness, who was subjected to the will of God. Do you see? A little lower. Oh yes, we're to have that humility of mind, are we not? We don't study, we don't apply right division, and accumulate a mass of knowledge so that, you see, we can be boastful or arrogant or proud. If we have accumulated knowledge, and we would need to concede that we have, correct? We would say in this room that I can look back and say, compared to 5, 6, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, I certainly know a lot more now. And I'm sure you do too. But it's the humility of mind that must accompany the enduring and the competing as an athlete. Because we all want to be crowned, don't we? We all want to be crowned. The Lord was crowned. He suffered. Remember that great passage in Philippians chapter 2? He endured death, even the death of the cross, and God has highly exalted him. And Paul, in chapter 3 of Philippians, wanted to know the faithfulness of Christ. He wanted to know him. He laid aside all things, he counted them as dung, so that he would win Christ. Ah. You see, in the sharing of this truth, there is labours, there is a contention as an athlete, but there's a prize in view. To be faithful, to compete lawfully, to not get entangled in the affairs of this life, all has to do with the fact that there is a reward in view. Yes, the athlete competes lawfully. And in the sharing of the truth, we compete lawfully and we share along the principles that we've been taught. And you know, the more we know through right division, the more we can talk to our fellow believers in a rightly divided way. And just as I shared with that vegetable seller, that farmer, do you see, so he could hear the truth. It took a burden off him. I didn't lecture him about right division. He told me the church that he went to. I didn't stand up and say, oh, you poor, sad, sorry, little individual, you go to that church? They don't rightly divide in there. You know, they wouldn't have a clue what right division is. Oh, no, no, no. I spoke to him about a truth that was a burden to him, and the right division principle came through in what I shared. Do you see? And I made his day. And we can all do that. Because remember, 2 Timothy 2 isn't about being a soldier, and it isn't about being an athlete, and it isn't about being the farmer, the guy that I met yesterday. It's about committing the truth to other people, isn't it? And that truth has to be rightly divided. Well, hang on a minute. since we've been talking and I was sharing with the farmer, here we come to 2 Timothy 2 verse 6. The labouring farmer must be a first to partake of the fruits. Oh, yes indeed, the first to partake of the fruits. There's something about being a farmer, isn't there? There's a drudgery in it. Drudgery. There's also a repetition, and it can be lonely, can't it? Yep. Remember the numbers? Broad is the way to waste. Broad is the way to perdition. But a farmer, he labours for a harvest. By the way, I did want to bring out, and I suppose I better go there, to Philippians chapter 3, because I did want to mention this when I was talking about Matthew chapter 7. I think it's fundamental truth, but you know this. In the very context of Philippians 3 about a prize of the high calling and winning Christ, many are walking of whom I have told you often, Philippians 3:18, and now tell you even weeping, as the enemies of the cross of Christ. Numbers, you see. The seed fell on productive ground. Some of it did. Narrow is the gate that leads to life, which is put in opposition to waste or perdition. And many walk. Do you see? Many walk. Whose end, verse 19, is the very same word as Matthew chapter 7. But we don't want to do that. And we're not going to worry about those. We're focusing on ourselves. We are a farmer. We labour. And we have been assured that enduring, as James chapter 5 says, with patience, there is the privilege of being the first to partake of the fruits. Now, Christ endured. Isn't that right? Christ endured. And so Paul says in verse 7 of 2 Timothy, consider what I say, and the Lord will give you understanding in all things. What's the understanding of 2 Timothy 2 that I'm trying to bring out this morning? That we're to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. But we're to be strong in the grace that is in him as we share the truth that was given to us by Paul. And we're to consider this, and in sharing this truth, we're to remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, according to Paul's gospel. Now, Christ was the first fruit from the dead. When Christ was transfigured before the disciples, he said to them, don't share these things with anybody, and I'm just paraphrasing the gospel account. Don't share these things till I be raised out from among the dead. And they didn't know what he was talking about. They knew about the resurrection at the last day, but they didn't know about a resurrection out from other believers who would be still dead when Christ was raised. See, there are many people that are going to come from the east and the west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of God. They're to be resurrected, but Christ was resurrected ahead of schedule. Do you see? And the labouring farmer. Now, the word here is a first partaker? Well, it's not aparche, the exact same word for first fruit, but it certainly is that a labouring farmer is indeed going to partake of the fruits first. So whether the Lord gives me understanding, and I know what I'm talking about, and whether you have some ideas too, the fact of the matter is that as a soldier who doesn't become entangled in the affairs of this life and wants to please the one that's called him or her to be a soldier, there is a reward in view. As an athlete who strives lawfully in the sharing of the truth, the things heard of Paul, there is a crown in view. And as a soldier who labours repetitively and in a lonely fashion, and who sometimes is considered the lower class in society. Oh yes, Christ bore reproach, didn't he? Reproach means to be criticized, to be defamed, to be reviled, to be called all types of things. Name calling is something we're all going to experience. But the laboring farmer, humble as he might be, still has before him the joy of being a first partaker. And therefore, we, my friends, will join in with the Apostle Paul and conclude with verse 10 of 2 Timothy today. Therefore, in 2 Timothy 2:10, and here I am, changing the word again, you and I today resolve to endure all things for the sake of the chosen, the other believers, the faithful ones. Remember, that's this chapter today. I'm bringing out this emphasis. You and I have an opportunity to share truth given to us to faithful people, Christians, wherever they might be, whatever church they might be, wherever we meet them. We're going to endure all things for their sake. Why? That they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with something special, just like that farmer, a first partaker of the fruits, just like that athlete, a crown, just like that soldier, to hear the well done, that great expression of pleasure in the labours that you and I have shared together. We're doing it so that the elect might obtain a salvation which has eternal glory attached to it. Oh, whoops-a-daisy. I said that was the last verse, but I'm going to go back to verse 15 of the same chapter, because you see, if we don't share with them the principle of right division, they may be ashamed as opposed to having glory. They may be unapproved instead of approved. We have a job to do, don't we, today? And I want you to be encouraged as you share the truth that it will be difficult, it will be lonely, it will not be approved by the majority. But, friends, there's a personal reward in view. And in sharing the truth, there's a joy in being an instrument of God, just like Paul was, in bringing forward and presenting to other believers salvation with eternal glory. May each and every one of us today be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Blessings to you. Father, we thank you and praise you and joy in you and the word. We thank you, Father, for the strength that is available to each and every one of us through the word rightly divided and the Holy Spirit that lives among us. Help us, Father, to be encouraged, to speak a word, to keep going. Whatever the length of our life, may, Father, we be like the farmer who labours constantly and to the end, so that there's a joy of partaking of the fruit. May we be like the athlete, Father. Strengthen us by your Holy Spirit to share the truth like an athlete, so that we can be crowned and that others might have salvation with eternal glory. And help us to be good soldiers. Indeed, though he be dead, let us be a fellow soldier with Paul and share the truth that you gave for us through him to all those that you bring into our sphere today. Through Christ our Lord, Father, we praise you, we bless you, and you thank you for all things. In him and to him. Amen.